The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host for CBS Sports' daily NFL podcast. It is Friday, August the 14th, and I am freaked out because I just did that in a weird order compared to how I normally do. I hope you're also freaked out. We're going to do a mailbag. It's weird because it's off order. Usually mailbags are Monday. Mailbags are Friday now instead of Monday.
Mailbag!
That is a good one. John Breach has really locked in this skill of his where he can say mailbag in the voice of the mailbox from PTI. That is certainly something that's going to net you innumerable profits in the long-term future.
Well, that guy has to retire at some point because I know it's not a recording. It has to be a live person. That's the only thing that would make sense. And when he retires, I step in. Just like when the Saturday Night Live announcer retires, I'm going to step in for that too.
You do that voice?
I can't. Well, I mean,
he already retired. Right?
Oh, yeah, I think he did. There might be a new... Well, they didn't call me. They should have called me. Warren Michaels, if you're listening, I could do the opening.
Why don't you introduce Eddie Murphy and Taylor Swift to
I got to hear the opening first. I can't just do it. It's been a while.
But you're probably not going to get that job then.
Well, you got fired.
Yeah. What? I don't have it yet. I can't get fired.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably why Lauren didn't call you. Hey, John, I really need you to do this job right now. You're like, I'm sorry, Lauren. I need to hear the music first.
Breach,
I'm sorry, Lauren. I'm doing a podcast with Will Brinson, which is way more important.
And Mike Golick Sr.
Breach, just to make clear, you can call Lauren Michaels Lauren. You can't call Doug Peterson Doug.
Lauren is pretty individual and unique.
Okay.
Look, you got to be great at what you do to earn the singular nickname. The singular, like Doug, is not the only Doug. Doug Peterson is not the only Doug in the world.
Name another Doug.
He is the Eagles fans. Dougie Fresh.
First of all,
Doug.
What about the show Doug, whose name was just Doug,
who dated Patty Mayonnaise for an extended period of time, mind you.
Like you think that Doug Peterson is as famous as Doug, the character from Nickelodeon in the 90s? I don't think so.
If he's on Nickelodeon, you can probably watch him on CBS All Access.
That's right. CBS All Access. First month's free if you want to check out the champions. Maybe they will contact me
to do that
recording. We should this is probably mailbag should probably be Friday anyway. I feel like Friday's a little looser. Like people wake up the first thing in the morning and you're trying to get your week started. You know, you brew that cup of coffee and you're like, and then all of a sudden we're yelling about Doug.
Real quick, I do not want to stay long in this. Are you equally, if not near as mad about me saying Carson instead of Wentz?
No, that doesn't bother me for some reason.
Okay.
I don't think you care. I think you just, you can't go back now. So
Doug, it doesn't make any sense. There's like here's the thing that bothers me. It's this like sort of over the top level of familiarity, right? They're like, Doug. You know, like he's your pal.
This is coming from the person who says everyone's a friend of the podcast that you bumped into over the course of your 11.
Anyone who has appeared on the podcast.
Whether they remember you or not. Your words. Is
again,
a friend of the
yes, because Philadelphia fans, I would say, are very passionate about their sports. They do feel a sense of, like, they know their
right
coach or they know their quarterback.
Peterson, because if you go on a national radio show and you say Peterson, everyone knows who you're talking about.
If you say Doug, there is going to be a question of which Doug are you talking about?
And the point that I brought up a couple weeks ago, I do think it is national versus local. When I'm talking to Eagles fans and people in Philadelphia, I'm calling them Doug. But if I were to say it in just like a national conversation, it might be different. But I don't see you getting this mad about that guy that said Pete, as in Pete Carroll. Where's that same energy, Will?
This is as frustrated as I've ever heard, Debo. Way to go.
Let's get to the mailbag. First, a question about me. Amazing pod, says Jared Peasley via Apple Podcasts. But why does Brinson finish so few of his sentences? Jared.
So here, let me and Breach answer this question first.
Okay.
There's
a very short answer here, by the way.
You're distracted. You're watching television. You're getting texts from your wife. You know, you said that she's yelling at you. Robbie comes into the room. That's my guess. One of those three things, you get distracted.
Yeah. Brinson has the attention span length of a peanut. So literally, if another thought pops in his head, he goes with that thought, even if he didn't finish the prior thought. And that's it. That's Wilson's answer combined with my answer, combined with whatever Brinson might tell us, which he probably won't even finish because he'll start a new sentence.
You know what's crazy is that the editors at CBSSports.com refer to Brinsoning as just leaving unfinished sentences and stories. Like, yeah. I will be writing a sentence and then think of something else that I want to write about. Stop writing the sentence and go somewhere else in the story, edit something, and then forget to come back and finish the sentence. I do, like, I don't write as much anymore, but when I wrote a lot, they would constantly find unfinished sentences in my stories. Now, part of that is because when I write, I usually do train of thought. But yeah, you guys are correct. I have a very short attention span. I'm not trying to say I'm like, you know, galaxy brain or anything like that, but I think I have a pretty active, brain and mind. And when like something, like if a squirrel were to leap onto my window right now, I would definitely forget what I was doing.
Oh no, we'd have to stop the podcast for 10 minutes so that you could stare at the squirrel and then talk about it for 8 minutes.
I think
minutes.
I just stopped my sentence there too. For sure.
And tweet about how a squirrel scared you.
Yeah, I mean, if something else pops in my brain, I don't have this, like a filter to stop it from, like, I can't push it to the back and save it for later. You know what I mean? That's just sort of where it is. And that's why I'll stop a train of thought and just go in a totally different direction.
Yeah.
Living with me is living with lots of unfinished sentences. That's just sort of the reality. Lots of Twitter drafts that aren't actually sent, which may surprise you.
Not surprised.
That surprises me. Because some of the tweets you sent are like, man, did he think that through? There it is. Thank you.
All right. C. Leslie says, awesome show. Question for the mailbag. This is what's happening here, by the way, with these heavy Eagles questions? We have to really dig in and examine the Eagles here. Question for the mailbag. If the Eagles stay healthy, can they be contenders this year? They addressed pretty much all of their needs this offseason. They added good new pieces, yet still have returning veterans. Not to mention Miles Sanders looks like a potential star. Aside from injury, I don't see how this team doesn't win the division easily and be a contender to come out of the NFC. But I feel like no one is talking about them. Hmm. Your thoughts? Should we defer to Breachbot 3000 or allow him to unleash
the
propaganda machine on the Cowboys?
3000. Well, first of all, I feel like Debo is testing Brinson to see how many Eagles questions he could sneak in the mailbag before Brinson would just delete the rundown and start making up questions, because that does what it feels like looking at this. I will say, though, and of course I'm going to talk about the Cowboys. Yeah. I think that no one is talking about the Eagles because they're in the same division as the Cowboys, and everyone's talking about the Cowboys. You think about what happened this offseason. It was all Dak. Is he getting an extension? Is he going to sign his franchise tag deal? What's going to happen with Dak Prescott? Then you have Mike McCarthy. Is this offense going to be that much better? This team won 8 games with an offense that should have been much better than it was. So I do not agree with the assessment in this question that the Eagles are easily going to win this division, but I do think the Eagles and Cowboys are neck and neck. But I could absolutely see the Cowboys winning division. The Eagles are going to be good this year, but I don't think they're going to easily win the division.
Yeah, I'm shocked to hear that you think that the Cowboys are going to be good. I'm really concerned about Mike.
Go Cowboys.
As for the Eagles, my only concern about the Eagles, and I want to hear what Debo thinks about this, is Andre Dillard, the left tackle. They know they re-signed Jason Peters. It looks like he's kicking inside. They have Lane Johnson. We know he's really good, and Jason Kelsey. Can Andre Dillard play left tackle consistently enough to protect Carson Wentz and or Jalen Hurts? But their draft class, they crushed it on paper. And I like the players that they have on both sides of the ball. I think they'd be really good defensively. They got my guy, Javon Hargrave from the Steelers to play inside on that defensive line. But my biggest question mark, and maybe my really only question mark other than Carson Wentz's health, is Andre Dillard, the 2019 first round pick, playing left tackle consistently.
Let me close out my famous Doug's webpage and go over to my odds and see what the Eagles are. So I don't, here's my thing. I don't think that the Eagles are being slept on, but I also don't think the Eagles are going to easily win the division. There's not going to be anything easy about that division. The Cowboys are going to be a really good team.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to ask you next.
What's that?
Win totals for those teams.
Oh yeah, sure. Let's,
the odds real quick for the division from our friends at William Hill. Perfect. The Cowboys are +110 and the Eagles are +135. So it's pretty close.
I see locally for me, I see -127 for the Cowboys, +136 for the Eagles. I would much rather bank on Peterson getting the most out of that team at the plus money rather than laying the juice with Mike and what he might get out of Dak. As far as it's so much fun. As far as the win totals, do you have those in front of you as well, Breach?
I do not.
They're both 9.5. The Cowboys are juiced to the over -145. The Eagles are at -105 for the over. So again, kind of the same page for the Cowboys there. Slight favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's going to happen with these two teams is that you will probably see the division come down to the head-to-head, the two head-to-head matchups of the Cowboys and the Eagles. And that it's sort of simplifying the season, but I think that's a, there's a really good chance that that's what ultimately matters for those two. If one of those teams sweeps the head-to-head matchup, they're probably going to win the division.
Well, and the only two differences on their schedule, the two game difference, is that the Eagles play the Packers and Saints, and the Cowboys play the Falcons and Vikings. So I don't know who you give the extra
easier
there.
For the Cowboys.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean that's a much better matchup, but I don't know that it. You know, the Vikings did beat the Cowboys last year, and maybe some people think Atlanta's going to be good. I think. One of the things that Howie Roseman has done really well, now lost my Eagles depth chart. I just can't do anything right today. I mean, what? How am I losing? I mean,
I'll tell you the positions.
Did you see a squirrel?
Close down your Doug tabs.
He's done a really good job of building depth across the board. And I think that this team resembles in large part what we saw in 2017. Now, I don't know if it has that same upside, but they're loaded on the defensive line. And that's where Howie Roseman likes to build. Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham. They brought back Vinnie Curry, who's been there forever. Josh Sweat is like a sneaky 2018 fourth round pick who could kind of develop. Interior Malik Jackson, got to see if he's healthy. Of course, Fletcher Cox, a superstar. And Javon Hargrave, a really underrated free agent signing out of Pittsburgh. Ryan can tell us just how good he is. So I think that group right there is going to be the core strength of the Eagles defense. Adding Darius Slay on the back end is enormous because it shifts everything down where now you have a legitimate number one corner. I think there's a decent chance it's a top five defense and certainly top 10. Neither one of those would surprise me. If offensively, I agree that Andre Dillard is a concern just because he's young. He's very talented, first round pick in 2019, but he has to live up to the standard set by Jason Peters for years. And they do have a, you know, parachute if Dillard doesn't work out in Peters, right? Losing Brandon Brooks is a big loss, but I'm really more concerned about the wide receiver group. Like, who's going to come out of that? Is Alshon Jeffery going to return to being a true number one? Is DeSean Jackson going to be a healthy guy who can tear down the field? Is Jalen Reagor going to contribute in his first year? Are John Hightower and Quez Watkins going to be guys that can help out? You know, Marquise Goodwin opted out, so he's not going to play. JJ Arcega-Whiteside, Debo hates him. I like him to take a leap in year two. Can Jay Jaws take a leap?
The answer is no.
Why not?
Yeah, very down.
Debo does not sound very optimistic about that, Brinson.
I like the speed, though. They went for speed with the draft picks and Goodwin, who didn't work out just in terms of opting out. But
are you buying that Miles Sanders is going to be the feature back for the first time since Andy was there?
Yes, I am buying Miles Sanders stock.
I had a podcast listener DM me last night about a possible dynasty trade involving Miles Sanders. He was offered Miles Sanders and Ronald Jones for Alvin Kamara.
Hmm.
I told him, do not trade Kamara.
I don't know if I would. How much more does Kamara have left?
In his career?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years, you think?
Contracted 1 year ahead of, like, wait, what? When Miles Sanders, was Miles Sanders?
Two years difference.
Okay. Yeah.
Kamara entering year four, Sanders year two.
Kamara was banged. He recently said I think the problem with it is you're buying off-season headlines from Peterson and Bruce, with Peterson saying that Miles Sanders is the feature guy and Arians saying that Bruce Arians just lies about his running backs. You can go back and look at the last like 10 years. He just doesn't tell the truth in the offseason about his running back. So I like Ronald Jones as a sleeper, but I think Kamara is going to be better than Miles Sanders. So I would rather have Kamara than Miles Sanders, just because I don't necessarily believe that the Eagles will completely feed Miles Sanders, but Miles Sanders is awesome. The Eagles are really deep. The Eagles are great. They're a great team. They're a Super Bowl contender. You know, Carson has to stay healthy. So the question is Carson a little overrated? That's the next mailbag question. Just segue right into it. Eagles talk. Hey guys, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. It's from DevLat95, the Apple podcast. I try to listen to it every weekday. Thank you. Do you guys think that on the national level that Carson Wentz is a little overrated? I've been seeing some QB rankings with Wentz as a top five quarterback in the league, the second best quarterback in the NFC, and better than guys like Dak and Watson. PFF had Wentz as the 26th quarterback from week 9 on, including 2 games against the Giants and playing the Redskins and Cowboys. While he didn't have a good wide receiver core at that time, doesn't he seem to be getting too much credit for going 9-7 in that division? And also, isn't there too much stock everyone is putting into 2017, as Wentz hasn't even looked close to that then since that's leading into him being slightly overrated? Love the show, Devin from Maryland. P.S. I still think he's a top 10 quarterback, but maybe just a tad overrated.
Yeah, I don't know nationally how people. I mean, Dan Orlovsky loves him, Debo loves him, but Debo admits that he and Dak are neck and neck, or maybe Dak's a little better. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback for me. I haven't made my list out officially. Did he who shall not be named have him as a top 10 quarterback?
The Duke quarterbacks?
Yes, he was number 8 or number 9, I believe.
All right. Yeah, he's not the second best quarterback in the NFC, and he's not a top 5 quarterback. I don't think too many people are making that argument, are they?
Well, if he's the second best quarterback in the NFC, is that just behind Russell?
Russell, I mean, would you rather have Matthew Stafford or Carson Wentz?
I would.
Would probably... you rather have Drew Brees or Carson? Are we talking
just
year?
For 2020?
Yeah. Tom Brady or Carson Wentz?
I'm taking Brady and Brees over Carson Wentz.
If it's for 1 year.
For 1 year.
If it's, right.
5 years, you're taking Wentz.
Longevity, you're taking Russell Wilson.
I mean, is Carson
Wentz
better than Matt Ryan? I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
Debo, you're really bumming Debo off this episode.
Bleep,
are you serious?
Bleep had Carson Wentz number 8. Matt Stafford was actually 7 on that list. He had Tom Brady number 9.
Matt Ryan is a former NFL MVP. I probably would take Matt Ryan over. I mean, Matt Ryan is, I think it's has, close.
Matt Ryan has like 8 straight years of 4,000 yard seasons.
Let me ask you this, Brinson.
Carson Wentz doesn't have 1 year of playing 16 games, does he? Maybe he does.
Thursday's episode, you had an opportunity to draft Carson Wentz in our quarterback coaching staff draft, and instead you took Kyler Murray. So is Kyler Murray a better NFC quarterback than Carson Wentz?
Well, that was a coach combo. So yeah, I mean, I think that after this year, we'll consider Kyler ahead of Carson.
I think Wentz's biggest problem, like, I don't think anyone thinks he's overrated. Get what I'm doing, guys. I'm using the bunny ears. I don't think anyone thinks he's overrated per se.
I told JJ about those yesterday. He's like, what? What's wrong with that guy?
That's the right response.
I just don't think we have a clear picture of how good he is. Because if you look at, you know, the 2 seasons where he missed games due to injury, and then last year he's finally healthy, but then his whole entire receiving core, he's thrown to practice squad guys, which is why, you know, he was down toward the second half of the season. So, you know, we haven't seen Carson Wentz fully healthy. And if he's been fully healthy, we haven't seen his offensive weapons fully healthy. So there's always been some just hanging on there of, is Carson Wentz good? And I think it's going to be a question we keep asking until, you know, maybe he has a healthy receiving core this year.
And look, he played out of his mind in 2017. And I would like to imagine that had he stayed healthy, they were still winning the Super Bowl. Cause Nick Foles, you know, Nick Foles is Nick Foles.
You know who he didn't mention is Aaron Rodgers.
No, we did. I think so.
Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Carson Wentz?
Yeah. I don't think anyone disputes that, do they?
Well, who would you rather have?
Aaron Rodgers.
I think I'd rather have Wentz.
Oh, there you go. A little drama in the LBC. What about you?
Definitely not a top. Well, I mean, okay. He's, I don't think he's, I would say with Dak and Carson Wentz that they are both properly rated, but that because of the controversial nature of them being constantly compared, Ryan, that if you don't love Carson Wentz, then you think he's probably overrated. And if you do love Carson Wentz, then you probably think he's underrated. And some of the overrated nature of this could be contributed to the fact that people are sick of hearing other folks yell about Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott. Possible?
The funny thing is, like, I like Carson, I like Dak, and I think they're both rated about right. Like, they're in the same conversation. They're not indistinguishable, but they're pretty close.
I think the crazy thing about Carson Wentz is that if you say, hey, pick a quarterback for 2020 out of the NFC, you could certainly argue that he's outside of the top five, maybe even the top eight, because that's kind of what we've been doing. But if you're saying pick a quarterback for the next 7 years, then you can make the argument that he is the number two quarterback in the NFC, and that might be your second pick if he has to be your quarterback for the next seven. Russell Wilson.
7 years? Russell's 30.
Yeah, play till he's 37. That's easy. I'm taking Russell Wilson as my quarterback for the next 7 years. But then you could make the argument that Wentz maybe is number two, or maybe it's Kyler Murray. So it really is odd.
Wait, that how much. Say your thing again.
Again,
if you only need a quarterback for 2020 season for just 1 year, you can argue that Wentz is outside the top five, maybe in the top eight. We were just naming quarterbacks that are better in the NFC. But if you need a quarterback for 7 years, you can make the argument that Wentz is the number two pick. So that dynamic is weird that depending on what your argument is, you can move the goalpost to make the Wentz as the number two make sense or sound completely crazy just based on what you need.
I think currently
7 years is insane.
There's not much of a gap right now. Do you agree on that? Like the difference between a 2020 Tom Brady and a 2020 Aaron Rodgers and a 2020 Carson Wentz. There's not that much difference.
I think that if you showed up at my doorstep and you said, Brandon,
is he wearing a mask?
Me, Debo, I'm from the future. 1 year in the future. First of all, everyone's named Doug. It's amazing. Second of all, Carson Wentz is now better than Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and every NFC quarterback except Russell Wilson. I'd be like, oh, that's cool, future Debo. You know what would be more helpful? Tell me who won the Super Bowl so I don't look like an a-hole for picking the wrong team 10 years in a row.
Then he would say, duh, Carson Wentz.
And
I mean, he was the best quarterback in the NFL for one season in 2017. Oh. He was.
He, for part of the season.
13
he didn't
games.
Play the whole season.
I mean, okay.
Did he win the MVP award?
He did in my mind.
He did not.
That is written in my mind. Yeah, and I've...
Did he win the MVD award? Most valuable Doug?
Yeah,
and I don't know if you can use that argument because, like, you could say Andy Dalton was the best quarterback in 2015.
He wasn't close to the best quarterback in 2015. Carson Palmer and Cam Newton were much better than Andy Dalton. That is the most asinine thing you've ever said.
But it's not asinine. Cam Newton, definitely.
What a big jam. Wallace took it in his hands and said...
And we're talking about conference, and Andy Dalton's in the AFC.
Right, but Breach, you brought up Matt Ryan, and he had a fantastic 2016, and he's had a very good career, and I love Matt Ryan. But it's along the same line. Like Carson's year in 2017 at that pace was comparable to Matt Ryan's, what they both did for their teams.
I don't know about that statistically.
Look at that.
All right, let's look at that. We're going to have to dive into that because I happen to have Carson Wentz open and I have a Matt Ryan. Oh, actually, I have a Matt Ryan tab open as well. Isn't that lovely? Matt Ryan in 2016, 9.3 yards per attempt. Carson Wentz in 2017, 8.3. That is a significant drop. Matt Ryan, 7.1 touchdown percentage, 38 touchdowns. Carson Wentz, 33 touchdowns, 7.5. So Carson Wentz has the slight edge there. Matt Ryan in 2016 completed 69.9% of his passes for 4,944 yards, 309 yards per game. Carson Wentz in 2017 averaged 253 yards per game and completed just over 60% of his passes. This isn't remotely close. Matt Ryan's numbers destroy Carson Wentz's numbers. Thank you.
I mean, if that's the only parameters, then that's fine.
Glad that we're going to have the weekend away to sort of settle our differences here, Diva.
Right. I just want the one that has, I've always stuck by, and I think we'll be clear after this year. I think we're going to see Carson Wentz as a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson.
Ooh.
That's a bold statement.
That's the one that I think gets to me. Like, this, Deshaun Watson's great, but I think if Carson's in that.
So do you have Deshaun? Cause I think Ryan probably has Deshaun as a top five quarterback.
I have to go look at the list. He's up there. Yeah. He's in the conversation.
I mean, Mahomes, Lamar, and Russ are the only, it's like Belichick and Andy Reid at the top of the coaching list. Like, we're not, do not come at me with a list of quarterbacks that does not include Mahomes, Lamar, and Russ at the top right now. Like, anything else is stupid. After that, it gets very muddled though, because we're talking about a bunch of old guys, Brady, Breeze. Nobody's going to put Rivers in there right now, so I'm not even going to try. But I mean, you know, and then like this young group of dudes who are sort of jockeying for a position. And I don't think it's insane to think that Carson Wentz could be a top five quarterback after this year, but he needs to take a big leap forward.
Not a big leap. He just needs to stay healthy and have people to throw to. I think that's the biggest thing.
I mean,
he was balling out in 07. Excuse me, 17.
His touchdown percentage wasn't sustainable, but sure. I mean, do you think that Carson Wentz, so what we got from Carson Wentz is that, what is that relative to ceiling, his ceiling and his floor? Was that his floor in 2019? Was that his, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he completed.
2019 is his floor. He'll be fine. He was throwing to a bunch of undrafted free agents, former quarterbacks.
I mean, if that's his floor, then his floor is a top 10 quarterback. In 2019. I mean,
his floor is probably dictated by health. Like, nobody's doubting that Carson Wentz is really good.
Healthy. That's
right. I mean, we've seen that peak, or probably he can exceed that peak if he stays healthy. But yeah,
he came to the league at 24, man. Like, he's already 27. Has he turned 28 yet? He's born in Raleigh, by the way.
Oh God.
27. He'll be 28 at the, near the end of this season in December.
You know who was born in Cincinnati? Russell Wilson. Boom. Just had to bring that up real quick.
No one cares.
But Brinson was comparing Carson's season to Matt Ryan's and said it wasn't even close. But again, Carson Wentz's season was close to 2015 Andy Dalton, like incredibly close.
That's fantastic.
Why'd you have to bring that up?
Congratulations, Debo. So Carson Wentz's ceiling is Andy Dalton.
Carson Wentz's ceiling is the guy who got benched for Ryan Finley.
Enough, Carson Wentz also hasn't won a playoff game.
Wah, wah, wah.
Stop doing little those motions.
Let's move the thing along. I like Carson Wentz. Breach and Brinson hate him.
I think that where Carson Wentz ranks in terms of being overrated or underrated is entirely dependent on whether you like Carson Wentz more or like Dak Prescott more. If you like Carson Wentz more, you think he's probably a little underrated. And if you like Dak more, you think Carson Wentz is probably a little overrated. Does that seem fair?
10 months from now, assuming a 16-game schedule, playoffs, and Super Bowl, who will you be higher on, Carson Wentz or Kyler Murray?
I believe the answer will be Kyler Murray.
Ooh.
I think the answer will be Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Carson. All right.
Okay. I mean, do we think that Carson Wentz is about to unleash the best season of his career?
If the left tackle's good and if Jalen Reagor plays like Deontay Johnson did last year, yes.
Carson Wentz is 2017. Granted, obviously only played 13 games. Approximate value 14. That was what Kyler Murray produced last year as a rookie. I mean, Kyler Murray is at 64% passing, 3,722 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 picks, and he was sacked 48 times. Like, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, if that's Kyler Murray's floor as a rookie, are we I don't know. I just don't know that.
We don't know if it's his floor. We'll see.
What is Carson Wentz's ceiling? Is he going to go for 5,000 passing yards and 40 touchdowns?
He could.
Maybe. Why not?
What did Nick Foles do that year with Andy Reid? He had like 28 touchdowns.
And two, but that was, we had like 1,800 passing yards and like 27-2. With Chip Kelly too, not Andy Reid.
Oh, Chip Kelly. Sorry. Sorry, Andy Reid, to refer to you as Chip Kelly.
Yeah. You can say Chip, but you can't say Chip because Chip, you could be talking about Chip Patterson.
Charles. That's what you call him. Charles.
Charles Kelly. Carl is Chip Patterson. Okay, so enough. I hope that everybody got their fill of the Eagles.
Debo's diabolical plan worked.
Debo, do you need to add anything here?
No. Carson over Dak and Deshaun Watson. Let's bring up the receipts in January.
All right, well, let's all rank those a year from now.
Yes.
And we'll get out. All right. So you have Carson and then Dak or then Deshaun?
Dak and Deshaun.
Okay. And where this is how they will look a year from now, how we think they will look a year from now. Debo says Carson, Dak, Deshaun.
Based on their season, not our projections for 2021, right?
Yeah.
How we think after this season happens, we will rank them.
Our lasting thoughts.
You're projecting how they'll do and then that influences your ranking.
Carson for Debo and then Dak and then Deshaun.
The takeaway here is that Debo hates Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, really does. All right, go ahead, Breach.
So weird.
Wait, we're ranking how we think they're going to do in 2020 or how we're going to look at their career after the 2020 season?
World, what's going on?
All right, if we're ranking how I think they're going to do in 2020.
One year from now, how will you, John Breach, rank based on their production that you think they will have in 2020? Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, and Deshaun Watson.
I'll say Dak, Deshaun, Carson.
Ooh, that's what I'll say too.
I was going to go with that as well.
Dak, wow. I think Dak will. I think Dak is going to be like the MVP.
Look at Debo's face. He's like, oh, why am I working with these?
Debo's got that. You know that meme where the guy's like, it's like a fake smile, and he's just crying angrily underneath. That's Debo right now. He's like
the mask off.
Where's this guy's? I think Dak's going to have a monster year.
Well, if Andre Diller is my biggest concern in Philadelphia, my biggest concern in Dallas is Mike McCarthy.
It's fair.
Just saying. All right.
It's a big concern.
Okay. That is the Eagles discussion. Let's take a break and we come back. More mailbag.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
I lied. It's not all the Eagles talk. Dunked on by Brinson. That's because we got two reviews coming up from a Eagles fan, actually Eagles_PHAN. I assume this is a fish situation. So if so, we'll chat about that. He says, dunked on by Brinson. This is Ken H11, the Apple podcast. So I got myself dunked on this week by Brinson for saying he doesn't give the Eagles any love. It was glorious. The cost was 2 5-star reviews. One is coming from a friend who loves the show as well. We'll find out about that. Before I ask my question, make sure you add Debo is the fourth co-host. He kills it constantly. Find out about that. My question is pretty simple. Where can we expect a 2-hour podcast where you all come to the table with your bold predictions for 2020? That was my first listen last year, and while I'm 99% sure all the predictions were completely wrong, it was entertaining as hell and hooked me to your show. Maybe you can review last year's too, but I'm excited to hear if you think Big Ben will win MVP or the Raiders will go 0-16 again, Brinson. Cue the music.
Ho, ho, ho! Up high, down hard!
Breach, do you have, that seemed like something you would have handy. Do you have the predictions from last year?
I don't have our predictions handy because we did it in podcast form. I didn't have time to write them down.
Oh, we didn't. Okay. I don't remember.
I know that I had Big Ben to win MVP.
And 0-16 for the Raiders, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, well, because we were looking, then they beat the Broncos in week 1, of course.
I made the Raiders bandwagon as well. I shouldn't say too much.
Let's see if I can find. God, you know what is, you know what? You can't search Google with bold predictions for Breach. I mean, this is just like 4 million posts. It's like 8 bold divisional round predictions for the 2020 NFL playoffs. Bold predictions for the 2020 NFL playoffs wild card round.
It's bold predictions for week 1 of the preseason for the kickers.
I've actually trademarked bold predictions. So if you put that on a t-shirt, I get royalty money.
Do you, Breach, my theory is this, that you like to barter in the bold prediction, you like to dabble in bold predictions because it allows you to take your insane thoughts that you have in your head and to put them on paper, the things that you believe really will happen because you're a crazy person, but put them on paper. But because you attach bold predictions to it, it's the ultimate caveat that allows you to say, hey, it was a bold prediction. You can't get mad at me for that.
And if it's a bold prediction, people only expect you to hit like 1 out of 10. And if you hit 1 out of 10, they think you're having an incredible success rate. And generally, I can hit 1 or 2 out of 10. So it works well.
By the way, here's your preseason bowl predictions division by division. In the AFC East, Josh Gordon hits 1,000 receiving yards.
Wah, wah.
The Browns make the playoffs. The Colts don't have a losing record. The Raiders finish with the worst record in the NFL. Miles Sanders wins Offensive Rookie of the Year. The Bears miss the playoffs, so there's one. Drew Brees wins NFL MVP. Wait, I thought that was the worst pick in the draft! Oh my God.
This was for 2019. This is not for 2020 and 2021.
Interesting. 49ers finish under 500. That was a good one.
Why don't you scroll down and scroll down and see who I
have. That's all of them. That's all of them.
Who'd I have winning the Super Bowl?
The
Kansas City Chiefs. Who'd I have in the NFC title game? The Green Bay Packers. Boom. That's all. That's all you point out.
We know. You mentioned the Green Bay thing a million times. Ironically, the Chiefs, not that bold, and you included it. Like, the Chiefs were like 5-1 to win the Super Bowl.
They were 8-1.
Okay, that's not that bold. At any rate, you had to pick somebody. You did it. It's fine.
How about
does anybody, while we were reading this, does anybody remember how many of those Breach brought to the table? I'm guessing a couple.
How about?
I don't know, because I don't remember.
Joe Flacco leads the Broncos to the playoffs. Will Brinson.
They're bold predictions. You're only supposed to get like 1 out of 10.
Yikes. Yeah, but you have to at least get that one, Brinson.
I'm into that one too.
Dalvin Cook leads the league in rushing yards. He run a pretty good pace for that one.
That was a good one.
Garrett Bradbury, something about Garrett Bradbury that I remember.
Yeah, that was last year. Good Lord. Feels like 10 years ago we've been making fun of you so long on that one.
Garrett Bradbury is retired in the Hall of Fame.
Dalvin Cook one was good, though. I feel like you could have won that if he didn't get injured.
Andy Dalton hits career high. That was on a good pace. Did you mention that one?
Breach hit Andy Dalton. Oh, that's how that was that led to the Mitchell, the Dalton tattoo bet with Bleep.
Bleep doesn't work here anymore, so I don't have to pay off that bet. That was a coworker bet.
That is a pretty big welch by you, my friend. I don't remember exactly what all of them were, but yeah. So the larger point of this is that we will be doing a huge bold prediction show the week that the season starts. Maybe we'll make it 2 hours.
Hey, who has more catches in 20 or more yards in 2020? Sammy or Devontae?
Devontae Parker over Sammy Watkins. That had to have been born out of that podcast, right?
It was. Week one, I think, is when it started, because Sammy had a huge, huge week one.
And it was just a laugh riot. Y'all murdering me. Sammy went for 230 yards in week one or something like that.
Sammy basically did the Viacom CBS, parental leave thing. He was gone for 12 weeks and then show up again to the play.
Right. And airing our HR laundry. Actually, it's not laundry. Airing our benefit. Daintily fresh, clean laundry that he's airing out that window. Yes, Debo, you look like you want to say something.
No.
Nope.
I do want to say the Eagles fan, PH. I don't know if that's a fish reference. There's a lot
Could
of
be
people.
Philly. Could
yes,
be Philly.
That's very common amongst Philadelphia to use the PH in that sense and not fish. I know, you know, fish is sacred ground on this podcast, but it might just be Philadelphia. That's my guess.
Right. Because being an Eagles fan with an F wouldn't fully indicate that you are into Philadelphia. You need the PH. Is that what it is?
Probably taken, but
maybe Doug fan, D-U-G-P-H-A-N.
You know what my hope is? My hope is that this podcast goes away and you have to do an Eagles-only podcast.
Locked on Doug? the Daily Doug?
Brinson, I have a little trivia question for you. So today, actually, 1 year on the Pick Six pod for yours truly, how many episodes, and now I missed a couple, you missed a couple, how many episodes since August 12th of last year do you think we've had of the Pick Six podcast?
By the way, I should point out today. So we're recording this on Wednesday. This is the 1 year anniversary. So what did I get Debo for his anniversary? Like I yelled about Doug for like 10 minutes. We had, and this goes back to like not finishing sentences. We had something planned and I forgot to finish it. I didn't complete the task.
All right. Well, any question for Debo, then me and Breach will guess.
Yeah. Everybody take some guesses.
How many episodes have been done between your first episode
and today
and Wednesday?
Wednesday, August 12th, yeah.
August 12th, 2019 to August 12th, 2020. We're doing two episodes today. We're counting those two episodes.
Okay. So can I, okay. So we're counting those two episodes. So, I mean, let's say 52 times five, right? That's 260 episodes, bare minimum on the daily basis. I mean, we did the preview shows, two episodes per day, twice a day for 16 weeks last year. So that's an additional, so we're up to 276.
Wilson, you guess one over Brenton, and I'm going to guess one under.
You're going to Prices Right me?
Oh, we're going to Prices Right the heck out of you. 276.
You know what? I'm going to do, I'm not going to do the whole math thing, but I'm going to guess that it somehow magically evened out perfectly. It's 365.
I'm going to say 350.
I am going to go low, man, on the totem pole and say 313.
I'm offended, Breach. So it works out where before today it was 398, and these two make it 400.
Wow! Oh my 400 god! 400
episodes. Okay, so Debo, we are gonna get you. Well, you know what? It's on air. It's on EK and myself. We both dropped the ball on our planned thing. So if you guys want to tweet at Debo and wish him happy one year anniversary of working on the Pick Six podcast. Just 1 year of being plucked from a peaceful job producing shows at CBSSports.com and HQ and dropped into the hellscape that is doing a daily podcast with me.
He has not gone crazy doing 400 shows with Brenton.
You make the show better, Debo. It wouldn't be very good without you. I got to tell you that. We wouldn't be nominated for a People's Choice Podcast Award with other such illuminous podcasts like All Creatures, that's the wrong one. 30 for 30, Ain't Hard to Tell. I don't know what the hell that is. Ion College Basketball, Fantasy Football Today, Nothing Personal with David Sampson, Packers Fan Podcast, The Fantasy Footballers, The Game Time Guru, and The Thread / Let Us Play. Okay. We can win that.
We're going to win.
Let's do it.
If we win, I will do something insane.
I appreciate it, though. Bold predictions in September. We're going to keep going just as many episodes as last year. Maybe another 400 between now and next August.
Love it. Okay. Brinson, dunked on by Brinson 2.0 because we had to get two reviews. This is from OMGSH, yeah, Apple Podcast, the friend of Eagles fan Ken. First and foremost, I would like to say that I've never been dunked on. But a friend of mine that is an Eagles fan was dunked on now and now owes 2 5-star reviews. This is the second. Recent listener, and I am a fan of the podcast. Started listening when you were running through every team. So my question is, what receiver do you expect to have a breakout year? And why did you pick Preston Williams? Doesn't have to be a young receiver, just someone with a relatively down year last year. Okay. I've got, you know what? I actually did. This is my present to you, Debo. I did prep for this show.
That's a lie.
I did. I have a huge list of receivers who I think could qualify. I even did a bunch of prep for the coach QB combos. So nice. Maybe Debo wearing off on me. But I will let you guys go first if you are so inclined.
Should we name one or two?
Same name one. We'll just go around the horn on it. Remember, it doesn't have to be young receivers. Can be guys bouncing back from bad seasons. Or I've got a big list of young guys and a couple guys who could possibly pop up.
I'm going to go with an obvious one because he plays in the Chiefs offense, and that is Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, great choice.
Under 550 yards last year, but I think he could absolutely blow up in 2020.
Can't believe you didn't see Sammy Watkins. That was a layup.
Well, the working theory is that Mecole Hardman is going to replace Sammy Watkins or even potentially replace Tyreek Hill once he gets to the end of his contract. Hardman and
Tyreek Hill, Grace? Tyreek and Mecole raced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did they race?
Last week, I think. They put it on Twitter.
Tyreek won.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mecole ran like a 4.3 or something.
Mecole Hardman's really fast. He's really good. I mean,
I have two players, potentially same team. Hollywood Brown. I think he should bust out.
Okay.
For part of last year, he actually played well when he was.
You're not going to name his cousin next time.
I'm going to name his cousin Antonio Brown.
Whoa, that's interesting, Wilson.
Thank you. All right.
Wait, I got one more. I didn't know we were going to name both. I thought we were going around.
This is going because they were cousins.
Potentially on the same team. So no, you can't go Breach.
Oh, what?
Instead, I'm going to snake you and take AJ Green, who could potentially bounce back as a healthy guy after missing the entire year last year. I've been drafting him. I'm drafting him everywhere in fantasy. Like, I'm buying into AJ Green. I think Zach Taylor's offense will be much better with an improved offensive line and with Joe Burrow slash not Andy Dalton. And so, give me all the AJ Green shares that I can take. Nobody else seems to want him. I think AJ Green has a big year this year.
I was thinking AJ Green, but I knew Brinson would steal him from me. So I'm going to come back with someone else, who only plays 90 miles away from AJ Green. And that is Paris Campbell.
Oh no, that was my top option
for the Indianapolis Colts. I think Paris Campbell could have a monstrous year. Obviously, dealing with injuries, only had 127 yards receiving last season. But, man, in that offense, it's going to be loaded. People trying to stop T.Y. Hilton. All of a sudden, things open up for Paris Campbell.
Now, Breach, I believe this is the point of the show where we ask you, what did you think of Jamie Eisenberg's 2020 breakout receiver list that you wrote for CBSSports.com?
I thought it was awesome.
Because you've already named two of the guys on there.
Oh, well.
Which is clearly
me and Jamie were texting each other this past week, and we're very close friends. I read his work. I'm sorry.
I think you Googled breakout receivers, and that was the first article that popped up.
Not really. I just read Jamie's work. I didn't have to Google anything.
Ryan, your turn.
I don't have the list in front of me. I was only going two names. I'm done.
Okay. That was pretty fast.
I'll do quickly. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, just so.
There you go. I like J.J. as a breakout. I didn't think about including him on the list. And actually, I did sort of borrow from Jamie's list, too. It's a good list. You should check it out at CBSSports.com. Jamie's is more about young guys. I actually think that there's a very good case to be made for Preston Williams in the Dolphins offense. His final three games before he suffered an injury that knocked him out of the season, he had 15 catches on 24 targets, 196 yards and two touchdowns. That was against the Bills, very good defense. The Steelers, very good defense. And the Jets, who are, you know, they exist.
I think it's an ACL injury, though.
Yeah, it was, but that's easy these days. That's a 16-game pace of 80 catches, 1045, and 11 touchdowns. I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, offense could be better this year. He's not a guy I dislike. All right, who else you got?
That was it.
Okay, all right. I have a couple more. Does Michael Gallup count?
I mean,
he had 1,100 yards last year. I didn't realize it was that much.
Yeah, it doesn't count then.
Okay. I would just say that I think he's going too late in fantasy drafts. Like, he could be the number one receiver on the Cowboys this year, easily.
Okay.
People are, like, putting him in line with CeeDee Lamb. He's a third-year receiver. He's a monster. Like, he could be better than Amari Cooper this year. Alan Lazard?
Yeah, we'll see.
The number two in Green Bay. Somebody's got to catch the passes.
Yeah.
I think James Washington or Deontay Johnson qualify as somebody from Pittsburgh.
Yep. I think Washington more than Johnson. I think Johnson, they both had decent years last year, but yeah, I'm with you.
It remains to be seen, like, if Ben has to be healthy for 16 games, and, like, who does he end up having a rapport with, one of those guys versus the other?
But again, nobody can be there, so it is a story about him getting angry for not getting passes thrown his way.
That's true. John Ross. Deep sleeper.
John Ross just COVID?
Oh, he did opt out.
His son has COVID, so he left training camp.
Right, okay. Yeah, that's just something.
I hope everybody's okay.
Right.
So, Brinson, from the sound of it, naming AJ Green and John Ross seems like somebody's pretty high on the Bengals this year.
Yeah, I'm high on the Bengals. We've been over this. I think the Bengals.
How high?
Like
Super Bowl high?
No, I mean, I was going to say, like, Afro Man high.
Because I got high. Because I got high. I had to sing the song in case people didn't know and thought you were just talking about.
I was going to go to class, but then I got high.
I was going to pick the Bengals to win the Super Bowl, but then I got high.
No, I picked the Bengals to win the Super Bowl at that time. No, I would say that I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Bengals made the playoffs.
Oh, please stop it.
Clip that, Debo, and let everybody know that Brinson's been brainwashed by
that's
Breach
one of my bold
3,000.
Joe Burrow leads the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, that would, now this would be bold. The Bengals and the Browns finished first and second in the AFC North.
Okay.
State of Ohio hasn't won a playoff game this century, but I love it.
I just clipped that and you singing to Afro Man.
Afro Man and, look, there's some dumb pleasures in life. Afro Man and Dude, Where's My Car?
You know. No.
Remember that movie?
Of course I do.
Stifler and Ashton Kutcher.
No, that's right.
They're messed up. They lose their car and then spend the whole day chasing it.
I've had that situation.
It's very, very stupid. But it's
in college, I forgot where I parked my car once.
Who amongst us hasn't? I also looked at Jamie's article, by the way, and I mean, I liked a lot of the guys on there. Steven Sims, good choice in Washington. Kelvin Harmon out. Somebody's got to do it. And then Anthony Miller in Chicago. I don't know if there's gonna be enough volume in Chicago, but and Allen Robinson soaks up a ton of targets, but you know, they have 14 tight ends and none of them are any good. So why not Anthony Miller? Anybody else?
No, I'm good.
I love when Ryan has to take his kid somewhere. It gets very short.
Well, I mean, his kid needs to go. He can't walk. He's like, if I answer this, then Brinson will keep talking for 30
You guys were doing soccer practice up there, huh?
Yeah. They're playing small-sided games, not full-sided. So, and you have to, even sitting outside watching, you have to wear a mask.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
4-on-4, 5-on-5.
I'm glad they get to get out and do team activities.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the show. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you on Monday. Nerd Week starts. Get your calculators, your TI-82s.
Me and Wilson are peacing out. We won't be on next week. Sorry, everyone.
Wow, which is ironic because you guys are both nerds.
Right. Follow me on Twitter. I'll make a video and you can see my face and maybe I'll talk in it. I'll show off my
next week feels like an emergency podcast week, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Doesn't it, Diva?
Yeah, we got one coming.
Happy belated anniversary. Just like with my real wife, I forgot to wish you a happy anniversary until you reminded me that it was your 1-year anniversary, even though I did have good intentions. Ryan and John can confirm.
Is that what you told AK? I had good intentions.
Absolutely. I'm not treating you any differently than it's our anniversary. And, unlike my real wife, I didn't lie about having good intentions. Like, we're definitely going on a trip for 10. Don't worry about it.
Sure. You know the thing? The road to hell?
Yes, paved with good intentions. It's Randy Travis, baby.
Oh, is it? I thought it was in the Bible.
Maybe.
Your mother's a preacher and you're telling me Randy Travis was the first person to say that. No, he's Googling furiously, Breach.
I mean, is it a
Travis invent road to hell is paid for the good intentions? No, dumbass.
Proverb, I don't think it's in the Bible. I don't think it's like, and the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
That's Randy Travis. That's Randy.
Princeton, why don't you Google that over the weekend and then let us know in 2 weeks.
When you're off of Nerd Week.
Yeah, let us know how that
All right, I will give you a full detail breakdown on the road to hell is paved with good intentions in 2 weeks when I see you guys again. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you on Monday.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.